It is a doomsday that is foretold in the Mayan calendar, the Chinese oracle of the I Ching, even an internet-based prophetic software program. 2012. A date that is prophesied as the end of the world. But is there any science behind this dire prediction? Could ancient oracles truly predict the future? The answer could affect us all, because history shows a surprisingly good track record for those who say doomsday is almost here. There are wars and rumors of war, signs and warnings. There are disasters, destruction. There are those who say that these are dark times and that these destructive events are not just random.
So if you turn on Fox or CNN News, you're constantly seeing possibilities of terrorism, nuclear attack, plagues, of new diseases. We seem to be going through sort of apocalyptic process.
These days were prophesied long ago, in the pages of the Bible, the temples of ancient Rome, the pyramids of the ancient Maya, even the World Wide Web.
We have a number of prophecies that all seem to imply that something is going to happen in the 21st century.
It ties into a number of prophecies made in the Old Testament, these warnings of coming judgment, of a coming doomsday because people are not following the rules of the law.
More than one oracle in history points to a single date, a disastrous convergence not far in the future.
The Mayans talk about December 21st, 2012 as being the end of this cycle.
The ancient Mayans of Central America created a calendar so precise that it could predict lunar eclipses literally thousands of years in the future. Yet the Mayan calendar mysteriously ends on one date, the winter solstice in the year 2012.
Is the world going to end in 2012, or is there going to be some kind of major shift in the cycles of history? That remains an open question.
And the newest version of the 2012 doomsday prophecy comes from an oracle that isn't even human. Its inventors call it the WebBot Project. It began in the late 1990s as a program to predict possible stock futures.
Anytime anybody makes an investment, they're at the same time making a prediction about the future.
Business consultant George Yore worked with partners and developed a program that uses independent mini-programs called spiders, or agents, to comb the internet for hints of future financial news. The concept behind the web bots is that massive scans of language will reveal a direct connection to the collective unconscious and a hint of the future.
It's almost a window into the universal subconscious mind.
However it works, the WebBot's track record is impressive.
August 2004, we made a prediction about earthquakes. We predicted 300,000 dead, the water rising, which turned out to be the tsunami in December of 2004.
The WebBots also foretold the anthrax attacks in Washington, D.C. in 2001, the massive East Coast power outage of 2003, the destruction of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. But it's the WebBots' prophecies for the future that are most disturbing.
If the WebBots are correct, we should see a series of escalations leading to, I don't like to say it, but something like limited nuclear war in 2008, 2009 kind of time frame.
According to the WebBots, a series of catastrophes reaches its peak in the year 2012.
I honestly don't know what's going to happen in 2012. This technology may start meshing with a lot of the other predictive things out there, like Mayan calendar.
Is it true prophecy or just a lot of random noise? For answers, one must return to the very beginnings of Western civilization. In the ancient world, the most highly regarded psychics were called oracles.
An oracle is an individual who has some kind of prophetic connection with a god or God himself.
One of the most important oracles of the ancient world was based in the Roman Empire. She was called the Sibyl. She lived in a cave in Cumae, near modern-day Naples, around the 6th century BC.
Statesmen, aristocrats, figures from the upper echelon of Roman society would go and consult the Sibylline prophecies about all kinds of things, ranging from war to statecraft to domestic concerns.
Before giving her prophecies, the Sibyl would go into a trance in which it was said the god Apollo would take over her body.
The god possessed the Sibyl. She made utterances, often in this furious, altered state. One of the remarkable things about the Sibyl is that she wrote her pronouncements on oak leaves. But if the oak leaves blew in the wind, they were not reassembled, so the messages were often scrambled.
The Sibyl's prophecies were collected in a series of scrolls and housed in the Temple of Jupiter. They were considered the most important religious books of ancient Rome. Among the Sibyl's prophecies was a distant apocalypse. She predicted the world would last for 9 periods of 800 years each. The 10th generation would begin approximately 2000 AD, and it would be the last.
These things in the 10th generation shall come to pass. The earth shall be shaken by a great earthquake that throws many cities into the sea. There shall be war. Fire shall come flashing forth from the heavens, and many cities burn. Black ashes shall fill the great sky. Then know the anger of the gods. The Sibylline Oracles, Book 4.
We're feeling this time coming on. We're reading the reports about, you know, the glaciers melting. We're experiencing things like the tsunamis, climate changes, upheavals in land, cataclysms.
But the Sibyl's prophecies wouldn't mean much if she didn't have such a good track record. In the 6th century BC, the Sibyl predicted the invasion of Italy by Hannibal 700 years before it happened. And she predicted his ultimate defeat. She predicted the rise of the Emperor Constantine, by name, 800 years before he was born. But her greatest prophecy gave her a place of honor among early Christians.
In Virgil's 4th eclogue, he has the Sibyl give a prophecy of a new age coming, a new golden age, and a child who would be born who would initiate this golden age. This was written, I believe, say around 20 BC. Later on, Christians took this as a prophecy of Christ.
The Sibyl's prophecy of the coming of Jesus, 20 years before his birth, caused her to be revered by early Christians. And even Michelangelo gave her a prominent place in the Sistine Chapel. No one knows how the Sibyl saw into the future, but a new archaeological discovery suggests that the source of her prophecy was not God, but gas. The evidence comes from another oracle of the ancient world, this one at Delphi, Greece.
The most famous of all of the oracles was the oracle at Delphi. At Delphi, it is thought that the god Apollo could inspire a person who could be a priestess of Apollo to foresee the future.
Delphi is a small village about 100 miles from modern-day Athens. From the 8th century BC to the 4th century AD, pilgrims traveled there from throughout the Mediterranean to pose questions to the priestesses of Apollo. The priestess entered an underground chamber and there went into a trance. In this trance, she would give prophecies that were evocative, intriguing, and often surprisingly accurate.
She was in an altered state. Occasionally, she's described as chewing laurel leaves, and people have commented that this may have had a psychotropic effect.
There is other evidence of psychotropic effects. In 1998, a geological team discovered two fault lines running under the temple at Delphi, which led to underground stores of ethylene gas. In small quantities, ethylene produces a mild euphoria and is the key ingredient in the dangerous practice of glue sniffing. In large quantities, the gas is a powerful hallucinogen that produces visions and sometimes incoherent raving. This ambiguity may be the key to the oracle's success.
The basic principle of a good prophet or a good oracle is keep it vague. Allow for a variety of different futures to be taken as fulfillment of prophecy. And the poetry that came from the Oracle at Delphi was very much like that. It was often rather vague and was open to interpretation.
Like Delphi, the Cave of the Sibyl was also underground, connected to volcanic gases and fault lines.
If you ingest hallucinogens, the brain interprets that as something external to itself, even though we know, of course, it's internal. But that only adds to the mystery and the overall sense of something special going on.
Yet the fact remains that the Delphic Oracle seemed to accurately and specifically predict the fame of Socrates, years before he was known. The defeat of the Persian invasion of Greece in 480 BC, and Alexander the Great's conquest of the known world.
Ancient man had a very, very sophisticated mindset, and I think it represents an inconsistency on our part to embrace his rationalism, his historiography, his engineering, to embrace all these things and yet to make no room whatsoever for ancient man's interest in prophecy and oracles.
The accuracy of these ancient oracles is not just a moot point, because these doomsday prophecies apparently referred to our own time. And some find disturbing confirmation of the 2012 doomsday in the calendar of the ancient Mayans, which gives a far more specific timetable for apocalypse, including the year, the month, and the day. The Mayan calendar seems to say that the world will end in 2012. It's a startlingly precise prediction from a culture that took its calendar very seriously. The Mayan civilization flourished in Central America from the 6th to the 9th century AD. They were obsessed with timekeeping. Their calendar was incredibly precise, more accurate even than our own. Its interlocking timescales of lunar, solar, and planetary cycles could accurately predict a solar eclipse thousands of years into the future.
The Mayans were kind of like shamanic scientists, and they were obsessed with time, synchronicity, and consciousness, and they spent like 1,000 years going back to even previous civilizations trying to put together a model of when this big transformation was going to take place.
The calendar is also prophetic. In the 8th century AD, it predicted that white-skinned bearded gods would arrive from across the sea on March 5th, 1519. On that precise date, Cortez and his conquistadors arrived in the New World. Was it coincidence, or was the calendar prophetically accurate? The answer matters, for the Mayan calendar also predicts the end of the world as we know it, on the date that the Mayans called Hunab Ku.
On the winter solstice, 2012, December 21st, the sun rises within the dark rift at the center of the Milky Way. And they call this dark rift a cosmic mother, or they're also apparently referred to it as a black hole. And only in the last 5 years have Western astronomers discovered that there is actually an enormous black hole at the center of the Milky Way, which is at the center of our galaxy.
Modern astronomers concur with the ancient Mayans. On December 21st, 2012, the Earth will be in exact alignment with the Sun and the center of the Milky Way galaxy, a galactic event that takes place only once every 25,800 years. No one knows what effect this extraordinary alignment will have on the Earth, but the Mayans believed it would be dire.
It might be kind of like a crossing over of the kind of galactic equator. When you go below, you know, south and north, magnetic currents will spin in opposite directions. It might be there's a kind of field effect reversal that takes place once you pass through this galactic equator.
Geophysicists have a theory that is strikingly similar to the events predicted by the Mayan alignment. This phenomenon is called pole shift, in which the entire mantle of the Earth would shift in a matter of days, perhaps hours, changing the position of the North and South Pole, causing worldwide disaster. Earthquakes would rock every continent. Massive tsunamis would inundate coastal cities. It would be the ultimate planetary catastrophe. As unlikely as this theory seems, it is backed by science. Albert Einstein first suggested it in 1955. And a new study from Princeton University reveals that the poles have shifted before. The North Pole rested in the middle of the Pacific 800 million years ago, placing Alaska at the equator. Even if this pole shift took place slowly over years, it would result in global climate change and shifting sea levels. If it took place rapidly, it would mean planet-wide disaster and mass extinction of species. On the other side of the world, the 2012 date also emerges in prophecy. According to one theory, the identical doomsday date can be found in China's oldest text, the I Ching, or Book of Changes.
The I Ching is the most remarkable, most enduring oracle in existence. Its origins are shrouded in mystery. It is quite possible that the earliest vestiges of the I Ching are approximately 5,000 years old.
Chinese legend says the Emperor Fu Shi invented the I Ching around 2800 BC, a century before the pyramids were built in Egypt. The I Ching is usually used for personal fortune telling. You ask a question of the text, then you toss three coins. If they are mostly tails, you draw a straight line. If they are mostly heads, you draw a broken line. This is repeated six times until the questioner has a series of six straight and broken lines called a hexagram.
There's 64 possible combinations, and there are little texts appended to each of these hexagrams, and that gives you some reading on the future.
The questioner looks up his hexagram in an index and finds a prophecy.
The remarkable thing about the I Ching is that if you pose a question to this oracle, you will discover that you receive an answer that is astoundingly appropriate to the question being asked.
Advice can range from relationships to travel to career guidance. But scientific rationalists counter that the evocative language of the I Ching only makes it seem accurate.
Sometimes this is called the P.T. Barnum effect, where you provide something for everybody. So it's a vague general statement. I see you as somebody who is outgoing and extroverted, yet at times you can be introverted. It's total nonsense. There's nothing psychic going on at all.
Despite the opinion of skeptics, the 5,000-year-old I Ching remains a bestseller. Used by fortune tellers, psychotherapists, and Shanghai business tycoons. But only in the past decades has the ancient I Ching become an oracle of doom. The story begins with a controversial researcher named Terence McKenna.
Terence McKenna was kind of the subcultural Timothy Leary of the 1980s and 90s. He did these kind of mathematical graphings with the I Ching and turned it into a kind of map of time.
Before his death in 2000, McKenna noticed an unrecognized pattern in the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching. The six lines and 64 possible combinations can be expressed as a ratio of change in each hexagram and plotted on a graph. When McKenna mapped that graph over a timeline, he found intriguing correlations that matched all 4,000 years of recorded history. His graph starts with the I Ching's creation in China's Shang Dynasty, the same period as the dawn of civilization in other parts of the world. The 64 hexagrams repeat 64 times over history. McKenna called his theory time wave zero. The highs and lows of his I Ching graph seem to have accurately predicted the fall of the Roman Empire, the discovery of the New World, and the world wars of the 20th century. But the strangest thing of all was that McKenna's timeline came to an end on one specific date, December 21st, 2012.
It was later that McKenna discovered that the Mayan civilization ended its calendar at the point of 2012. He felt there was something truly prophetic about that date.
Did the I Ching from ancient China and the Mayan calendar from medieval Mexico independently arrive at the same date for doomsday?
What I feel is particularly remarkable about the current time is that we have a number of prophecies that all seem to imply that something is going to happen in the 21st century. The time scale of some of the traditional South American prophecies is the same as the time scale of the medieval Welsh prophecies of Merlin.
The wizard Merlin, best known from Tales of King Arthur, but that was the Merlin of fiction. The real Merlin was much darker, with prophecies that foretold the end of the world. There is an ancient oracle of doom who is now almost forgotten. His name? Merlin. We know Merlin as the wise wizard in the pointy hat from Legends of King Arthur. But the historic Merlin was very different from the popular image. In fact, in the Middle Ages, Merlin was considered one of Europe's greatest oracles. His prophecies include terrorist attacks, global warming, and planetary catastrophes, possibly in our own time.
There are two significant medieval texts that deal with Merlin. In fact, they're so significant that before they were written down, there was very little about Merlin.
The legends of Merlin have their birthplace in ancient England. The prophecies were published in 1135 AD, but were based on texts that dated from the 5th century. These texts describe Merlin as a Celtic shaman, half man, half demon. The name Merlin is an English version of an older Welsh name, Merthyn. The ancient Welsh called him Merthyn Wilt, Merlin the Wild, a half-crazed man of the forest. But was Merlin a character of legend, or did he really exist?
It seems very likely that the word Merlin, or Merthyn, was a title rather than an individual's name. And researchers and writers have felt that there were probably at least two, maybe three historical persons who had that title. Merlin was a title for a mad prophet in the woods.
The prophecies of Merlin seem to predict events that happened centuries in the future. 1,000 years before anyone knew that America existed, Merlin predicted the first American colony, by name.
A colony shall be founded by virgins in virgin soil.
Merlin also predicts the British victory over Napoleon at Waterloo and foresees the horrors of the Nazi Holocaust. But it is Merlin's prophecies for the 20th century that are the most astonishing.
At that time, shall a man standing on the shore of England speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France through a speaking stone? And it makes me think of the cell phone and quartz technology, our little speaking stones that we hold.
But then, Merlin's prophecies turn darker. First, he foresees a disaster in Great Britain.
The Seven Seas shall discharge itself and the river burn for 7 months. Fishes shall die in the heat thereof, and shall grow multiple tails.
The Severn is where the nuclear power stations are sited in Britain. So it would seem to us that this is a description of meltdown.
The prophecies get worse.
London shall mourn for the death of 20,000, and the River Thames shall turn to blood.
Is this a reference to a terrorist attack? Merlin goes on to foresee a more global problem.
The sea shall rise up in the twinkling of an eye. The winds shall fight together with a dreadful blast.
A lot of these predictions of submerging sound very much like modern scientific predictions of global warming. They start to look a bit like these channeled prophecies.
The prophecies of Merlin ends with its own deadly apocalypse.
The apocalypse in the prophecies of Merlin is astrological. It says that the planets will run out of their appointed paths. And it says that the planets will run riot through the signs. Now, there's only one way that could happen, and that would be if the movement of our Earth changes its rotation.
Like the Mayan calendar, Merlin's prophecies seem to reflect a prediction of polar shift.
If it's correct that these changes to the magnetic poles are going to continue and be as dramatic as they have been described by some scientists, then it does really mean that the nature of the planet will change. And that, of course, is where it ties in with some other prophecies from other traditions.
Were written down, another English oracle appeared. Her timeline of doom is nearly identical. It's apocalypse now.
When pictures look alive with movements free, when ships like fishes swim beneath the sea, when men outstripping birds can soar the sky, then half the world, deep drenched in blood, shall die.
These prophecies came from a woman known as Mother Shipton, said to have lived in Yorkshire, England in the early 1500s.
I think the idea is a seeress who lived in a cave, just like Delphi, who is born of human and otherworld spirit, just like Merlin. You see certain themes that endure through the centuries.
According to her biography, written in the 1600s, Mother Shipton correctly prophesied the death of Henry VIII and the defeat of the Spanish Armada, predicted Queen Victoria by name, and prophesied the upheavals of World War I and II. The prophecies of Mother Shipton first appeared in print in 1641, but when scholars have tried to track down the original texts, they have come up empty-handed. Despite the fame of Mother Shipton, there is no evidence she ever lived at all.
Most of the prophecies of Mother Shipton were written by later people. People would produce small books of verses and say, the new prophecies of Mother Shipton just discovered. A little bit like National Enquirer.
Mother Shipton may have been invented by the London writer Richard Head in 1684, whose faltering writing career was saved when he began to publish these prophecies. Richard Head claimed Mother Shipton accurately predicted the Spanish Armada, the Great Plague, and the London Fire of 1666, because he was writing about these events years after the fact. Scholars call his technique post-diction, instead of prediction.
Prediction, of course, you're supposedly making statements about the future. With postdiction, you're just going backwards in time and predicting it after the fact, which, of course, is no prediction at all.
But there is a strange twist to this story. Even if Richard Head made up the predictions of Mother Shipton in the 1600s, many of his future predictions eventually came true.
In the air, men shall be seen. Around the world, thoughts will fly in the twinkling of an eye. Women dress like men and trousers wear, and cut off all their locks of hair. Mother Shifton.
Did the hoaxer Richard Head somehow tap into some kind of oracular vision himself while writing the prophecies? Or was he working from an actual prophetic book which has been lost to history?
When an editor, such as the man who edited the prophecies of Mother Shipton, works on something, he usually doesn't fabricate the whole cloth. They are based on things that were originally oral tradition prophecies. And that's why I think some of them have come true.
In Mother Shipton's prophecies, this era of global progress will be followed by something quite different.
Then half the world, deep drenched in blood, shall die.
Were Mother Shipton and Merlin foreseeing the same doomsday as the Mayans and the I Ching? Some believe these prophecies are echoed in the most famous prophetic work of all time, the Bible. From the Mayan calendar to the wizard Merlin to predictions delivered by the internet, the year 2012 looms as a prophetic doomsday. But the threat of apocalypse also comes from a more familiar source, the Bible. The Bible's track record for accurate prophecy is legendary. The prophet Jeremiah predicted that Jerusalem would be conquered by Babylon, and it was. Jesus predicted Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans, and it was. The book of Revelation predicts apocalyptic warfare in the distant future, and some say it is happening now.
The book of Revelation, in its style, in its content, in its language, is not greatly different from the prophecies of other ancient cultures, including the Mayan culture, including the Egyptian culture, including the Native American culture.
The author of Revelation had a vision of doom that has shaken the world to this day. His name was John.
There's an entire book of prophecy, the book of Revelation, and it is the contents of it are this sort of dream vision that the Apostle John receives while in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And the entire book is this prophecy of a coming apocalypse, of the end of the world, the final battle of good versus evil.
The book of Revelation is filled with terrifying and bizarre images. Flying creatures with streaming hair making the noise of 1,000 horses. Self-propelled chariots belching flames. He sees diseases that kill one quarter of the earth. John foresees a period of global warfare centered in the Middle East. He sees the rise of a terrifying demonic world leader called the Antichrist. The book of Revelation foresees all this as simply a prelude to the end of the world.
It's so very, very detailed, but it's also so strange that we feel a need to attach it to stuff that we know of. We're fascinated with the idea of apocalypse, and in Revelation we've got some sort of a blueprint for it, and so we sort of project those fears onto it and try to figure it out. We try to crack the code.
But some biblical scholars question the direct connection between Revelation and today's headlines.
It's clear John of Patmos did expect the imminent end of the world, and it's been nearly 2,000 years, so I don't think he meant it for our time. I don't think he thought it was going to last that long.
Many biblical scholars today believe that the book of Revelation was a coded message, but the codes referred to John's own time. One example can be found in the ominous number 666. The book of Revelation calls the number the mark of the beast. Some have theorized that 666 is a numerological code for the Antichrist, a modern demonic world leader.
We look in vain for 666 at the present day. There is no 666 at the present day. 666 was an emperor who lived a long time ago.
The number 666 may actually be a reference to the Greek name for the Emperor Nero. Nero was a notorious persecutor of Christians, and the numerological equivalent of Emperor Nero's name adds up exactly to 666.
The story that is told that has to do with the beast and with the mark of the beast and so on has to do not with our day, not with the future, but that story has to do with the Roman period, what is happening at that time, with the emperors at that time, with the bestiality of that time.
But believers say that the descriptions in Revelation are disturbingly similar to doomsday prophecies of 2012. Armies the size of modern nation states. Weapons unimaginable in ancient times. Deadly plagues only discovered recently.
Our Bible teaches us one day it's all going to end in fire and brimstone. And so we are trained, we are taught as a culture to look for the imminent end.
If John was referring to a series of catastrophes in the modern era, he was not alone. Centuries later, and on the other side of the world, Native American oracles would predict a similar countdown to doomsday. In the 1890s, a Lakota Sioux shaman named Black Elk had a series of apocalyptic dreams.
Black Elk had certain visions in which he seemed to think that his people were going to kind of suffer a certain kind of defeat.
His visions brought about an Indian movement called the Ghost Dance, a ritual that they thought would restore the Indian nation to its glory. Instead, the army mistook the sacred dance as an Indian uprising.
The United States Army sent out troops to crush out the Sioux ghost dancers, precisely because they represented such a spooky threat.
Black Elk prophesied that after his own people were destroyed, another apocalypse would eventually affect the entire world.
All over the universe, I could hear the winds of war, like wild beasts fighting. It was dark and terrible about me, like rapid gunfire and whirling smoke, like women and children wailing and screaming all over the world.
From the authors of the Bible to Native Americans, oracles predict a looming doomsday in our own time, centered on the year 2012. Is it coincidence or prophecy? Will the end of the world be on December 21st, 2012? Around the world, prophecies suggest that something dire might happen on that apocalyptic date. Some of the most specific prophecies of apocalypse come from the Hopi tribe of the American Southwest.
The Hopi are probably the oldest tribe that is here in the United States. The Hopi, since the late 1940s, started preparing and teaching this prophecy. It's a gloomy prophecy, but yet it coincides with other prophecies at this time.
The Hopi believe that the world has been created and destroyed four times, and we are about to see the destruction of the fourth world.
The basic idea of the Hopi prophecies is that we're on the verge of transitioning to the fifth world. And they say that there was a whole set of conditions and things that they expected to happen that they say have all been completed except for one or two little things.
The signs for Hopi doomsday. The seas shall begin to rise. Great quakes will shake all corners of the globe. And the sun itself will turn hotter.
We're seeing how things since the 90s began speeding up and things were moving quicker and quicker. The glaciers that are melting, they're melting at an incredible rate. Everyone knows that the water is going to rise everywhere. Certain places may no longer be here as we know them. I think now we're beginning to see that what indigenous people were talking about, and even perhaps the Book of Revelation, is happening.
One surprising prophecy from the Hopi: near the end of days, the world will be crisscrossed by a device they called a spider web. Could this be a reference to the World Wide Web that links our world like never before? The Internet may be more than a reference point on the timetable of doom. Disturbing prophecies are beginning to emerge from an oracle called the WebBot Project. This program scans the World Wide Web for hints about the future and reports back with prophecies that are as ambiguous as the oracles of the ancient world, and just as chilling.
One of the problems with the technology is we don't get good news out of it. Yeah, we get particulars like, you know, forecast of an attack on Israel or big West Coast earthquake.
The WebBot Project attempts to read the unconscious mood of the world by making massive scans of the language used in hundreds of thousands of websites. The process involves many programs called spiders or agents.
The spiders go out and they literally read the whole internet. And we look for keywords, words of interest. So every time they come across a phrase off of our seeded list, they'll take a snapshot. We aggregate typically 60 to 100 million reads.
The WebBots began as a tool to pick stocks in the late 1990s.
This started off to pick the all-time high of Microsoft.
But the predictions soon became ominous. In the year 2001, one of the WebBot programmers noticed that there were more to the results than simply financial predictions. Phrases began to emerge, connected to calendar dates.
And finally, he made a rather startling prediction, and that was that in the next 60 to 90 days, some event would change forever how we live in America.
This prediction was made in June 2001. The WebBot developers believe it was an accurate prediction of the terrorist attacks of September 11th.
I don't think there's any argument that 9/11 changed everybody's life. And since then, we've gone on to get this sequence of accurate predictions.
If real, the future forecasts of the WebBot are anything but rosy. And like other oracles around the world, the WebBots also point to a global cataclysm in the year 2012.
I honestly don't know what's going to happen in 2012. This technology may start meshing with a lot of the other predictive things out there, like Mayan calendar, because we get into that period where awful lot of talk about sun, awful lot of talk about energy, gamma ray bursts.
The WebBots suggest a destructive phenomenon eerily similar to the Mayans' planetary lineup and catastrophe.
We could see an extraordinary solar event. Does that mean a big plasma discharge that comes out and slaps the Earth around and burns a good chunk of North America except for people in caves? A little early to tell on that.
Is the high-tech oracle of the WebBots predicting the same planetary alignment and catastrophe as the Mayans? The I Ching? Merlin, the Sibyl, and the Book of Revelation? Or is it all just coincidence, a meaningless pattern of random events? Throughout history, people have believed the end was near, and they were wrong every time.
You can track people predicting that the end is nigh for centuries, for millennia. It's always, oh, it's within 5 years or 3 years, just enough to collect some money for the collection plate.
The fact is, we can't foresee the future. But what we can do is we can live in hope for the future. We can have an attitude of optimism about the future. And that really is the message of what prophecy is about.